Is the Church of Christ a big, sick denomination? In Romans 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. The phrase Church of Christ denotes to whom the church belongs and is a biblical phrase denoting ownership. Faithful brethren use the term biblically with reference to the church of which you read in the New Testament. I do not know how the question I just mentioned, the title of this lesson, strikes you, but it is demeaning to the church. It is repulsive to me personally. I had just as soon one ask, is Jesus an impostor, a liar, a pretender, a deceiver, a fraud? Whatever else might be said, friend, if a church is a church of Christ, it's not a denomination. And if it is a denomination, it is not the church of Christ of which you read in the Scriptures. This question, is the Church of Christ a big sick denomination, was raised by a man named Lynn Anderson at the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene some years ago, a church that is now known for its digression from the truth. It later came to mean many extra confusing explanations came from him and from the church and from others as to just what he meant. It was made, however, in the context that salvation is outside the church, an admission that he had been preaching what he really did not believe because he had been preaching salvation in the church. And his main concern was with what the community may think of the church and teaching young people generally to be disrespectful toward the church. He equated upholding the church with support of corruption and the reinforcement of distortion. There is no suggestion that he had only a few of the members of the church in mind, but with a wide brush he painted this grotesque presentation of all the churches of Christ. Well, let us consider this statement word by word. Big. Now, big is a relative term. Big compared to what? Now, some congregations are rather large. The membership universally is thought to be about a million or so. We're not among the most populous religious people in the world, really among the smaller religious groups. But right and wrong is not determined by counting noses. Success is not measured merely by size, but by soundness. Let God keep score. Let us keep the faith. Too many have opted for the nickels and numbers and noise kind of religion to increase their numbers. And look at the word denomination. A denomination is a class or society of individuals called by some name, a sect, a fraction, or a part of the whole. We are called by the same name, Christians. The enemies of the church called it a sect. If we be a sect, it's not one of human origin. The church is composed of the saved, not a fraction or a part of the saved. None are saved outside the church, the body of Christ. No denomination that ever has or does or shall exist shall do so by the authority of the Word of God. Now, there are major contrasts between the Lord's church and human denominations, even though there are some similarities. What the Bible says of the church cannot be said of any and of all of the denominations put together. The church came from the mind of God, Ephesians 3, while the denominations came from the minds of men. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ, Acts 20. Where is there any evidence that God approves any denomination? The church was prophesied to come by inspired men like Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, John the Baptist, and even Christ. Not a word of prophecy anywhere in the Bible about denominations. The church is the kingdom of God, Matthew 16, Colossians 1. Denominations are not God's kingdom. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, not just a part of his body. And there is only one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Denominationalism is characterized by many bodies. The church began on the first Pentecost after the Lord's ascension, Acts 2. Denominations have come into existence since that time. The church is the house or the family of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. God has no children outside his family. No denominations even claim to include all of God's children, but the church includes them all. Members of the church wear the same name that God gave them, Isaiah 62 and Acts 11:26. The monument to denominationalism is a variety of divisive names of human origin. And nearly every denomination looks to something other than or in addition to the Bible as religious authority. Consider the many creeds and manuals and catechisms and disciplines, confessionals, edicts of councils and popes and conferences and clergymen. Christ is the authority, friend, and what he authorized to be taught by inspired men, now contained in the all-sufficient Scripture. The government of the church is according to God's pattern of the New Testament. Denominations have all sort of governmental arrangements. The terms of entrance into the Lord's church differ from what one must do to enter a denomination. What one does to become a member of the Lord's church is not what one must do to become a member of a denomination. It is what one must do in order to be saved. The church and denominations worship differently. The church worships according to authority. The denominations worship as men see fit. Christ built the church, but he never established any denomination. The church existed hundreds of years before denominationalism raised its divisive head. It is impossible to parallel the Lord's church with denominations, and we should not demean the church as a denomination. The question before us is not whether a church can digress or become a denomination. The church where this derogatory statement was made is an example of just that. But the question is whether churches of Christ generally have become denominations, and if so, where is the evidence? That some have is evident, and they are the very ones who subscribe to such church bashing as Mr. Anderson did and other liberal digressors propagate. And what is meant by sick? Is it meant that the sin is sometimes found among members of the church? Well, if so, yes, the church is sick. Is the church composed of perfect people? Why, absolutely not. Is there room for improvement? There always is. Are false doctrines sometimes taught? Yes, unfortunately, that happens. Are they condoned and tolerated? By some, they may well be. Are there weak members in the church? Why, certainly so. Do some denominational attitudes and practices even excel some of those in the church? Yes, sometimes that is found. But if error is tolerated and allowed to go unchecked, it will certainly lead to apostasy, and the people will drift into denominationalism. Friend, if you do not have respect for the biblical teaching and warning, denominationalism is not far behind. Let Mr. Anderson speak for himself and those who cater to his digression. But to paint the whole brotherhood with his wide brush of slander, it is indeed vicious. But if by sick you mean to show your contempt for the church, it is not the church that is sick. If by that you reveal your desire to restructure the church, changing its message, its work, its worship, again, it's not the church that is sick, but the change agents. If you desire to reduce the church to be acceptable to the unsaved community, contending that salvation can be outside the church, or that one is just as good as another, then you are the one that's sick, not the church. If you mean the church is no better or no worse than others, but only possibly closer to the New Testament church, the church is not sick. It is the New Testament church. Friend, the church to which I belong is the Church of Christ, not a denomination. Having no kinship with denominationalism, never condoning it or having fellowship with it. Denominations have no biblical right to exist. If so, let those who think so produce the biblical proof. As best as I know how to defend the New Testament revelation regarding the church, and in spite of imperfections among those of us who compose the church, I contend it is still the Church of Christ when we follow the New Testament pattern. When seed is sown, which is the Word of God, It will only produce God's kingdom, His church, never a denomination. Does Mr. Anderson suggest the church cannot exist until there is perfection in all of its members? If so, how absurd. The church is always in danger of apostasy, always in danger of becoming a denomination. As we have said, those who talk like Mr. Anderson are living proof. Many are ripe to be led astray. Those who want food, fun, and frolic and the feel-good, who want to be accepted regardless of the compromise necessary, and those who desire to follow men rather than Christ, they're always subject to being led away. And while some are attracted to others because of what they consider to be good morals and are repulsed by worldliness of some of the members of the church, that does not degrade the Lord's side of His church. Sadly, friend, the influence of the so-called Christian schools and the false teachers that are tolerated on these faculties, the so-called academic freedom that they claim to teach whatever they wish, has contributed to the current apostasy among many churches of Christ. Entertaining such teachers on lectureships, in meetings, on programs, has advanced their apostate influence. Error disguised as scholarship has deceived many. The constant changing of positions has caused some to think that nobody can be right. But please consider the following closely. In Romans 16 and verse 17, Paul wrote by inspiration, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now this passage has to do with religious fellowship. It has to do with those who are teaching and practicing false doctrines, and who are thereby driving a wedge between themselves and those who are determined to remain loyal to the revealed will of God. This passage demands so much of us that many find it difficult to muster the courage to obey it. There are consequences certainly to follow to the hurt of the obedient. There are awful consequences to fall upon the disciplined, but sadly, some heap great affliction upon the obedient. Rather than false teachers and practitioners of error being restored by proper administration of discipline by faithful brethren, the faithful sometimes are subjected to all manner of abuses. And while it is hard to sever fellowship with those you love, former co-workers, even those in the family, whosoever goes astray and will not repent, it must be done, lest the church be in danger of becoming a denomination of just smooth sayings. There cannot be fellowship with those who promote premillennialism, or who use instrumental music in worship, or agnosticism, or tongue-speaking, and those who claim miracles today, or some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit. There can be no compromise with evolution and fellowship with denominations, or the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, or salvation by faith alone, or the forms of Calvinism. There can be no compromise with adulterous relationships and many other false ways that are being accepted by some. We should have no desire to violate God's word by condoning such doctrines and such brethren who subscribe to them. Now, I realize that severs us from a growing number of people, but what of that? It alienates me from congregations with whom I once had good relations. The brotherhood in many places has increasingly drifted from the truth we once held together. We studied and held those things together when I began preaching, and in spite of the personal affection for these brethren, we dare not just get in line with digression and the innovations of men. Such would not be a manifestation of love, as some contend. It is a contempt for the truth. The toleration and support of those who persistently teach falsely and will not repent of it is unacceptable to God, whether those people be in the schools or publish papers or preach from pulpits or oversee churches or whoever they may be. We cannot look to the big churches and to the charismatic people to turn the tide. Friend, more often than not, they are the tide. Human frailty and weakness shall ever be among members of the church. Hypocrisy exists, and renegades arise. Greedy charlatans are not just in denominations. Religious politicians can be found. Such people always cause hurt and harm. But not every sin is due to hypocrisy, however. Sometimes it's due to weakness or a lack of growth. But while such can be expected and has stained the history of the church since Pentecost, it ought to be corrected. It must be opposed. We should strive to remove it, never compromise with it, and not tolerate it. If we do compromise and tolerate it, a denominational status is sure to follow. Because some churches of Christ have become denominations, in no way means the Church of Christ is a denomination. We will not surrender the biblical designation of the church because some have defamed it and brought reproach upon it by their denominational stance. One source of the inroads of error into the ranks of the church that some simply refuse to see is the acceptance of the perverted so-called modern versions of the Bible. False and fatal doctrines contained therein were once said to be minor and could be explained away. And yet there have been many following the lead of the so-called scholars that have seen fit to disparage reliable versions which produced the restoration of the church in favor of these easier-to-read distortions called Bibles that teach explicitly and without shame the false doctrines of denominations. Brethren were constantly warned that different books would make us a different people, but the wise among us refused to heed. Now we hear from pulpits the very false doctrines of denominations now found in these false Bibles. Those who have blindly promoted these new things have done grave disservice to God and His people. They shall not be held guiltless before God for contributing to the apostasy that has beset the church in recent years. Recently I heard a man comment that liberalism was not really such a danger to the church, but he evidently has closed his eyes to reality and to what has transpired. Some years ago, brethren were very aggressive in continuing to promote the concept of sowing the seed and producing the crop, sowing the Word of God, producing the church. The efforts to restore New Testament Christianity in our time enjoyed great success, until these efforts became sidetracked by the necessity of fighting the rearguard betrayal by liberals and modernists who rose among us. Weak leaders and popularity seekers decided it was more expedient just to go along to get along. The effort to turn the church into another denomination may well prosper. It has in some places. But it can never completely succeed because whenever a congregation becomes a denomination, it ceases to be the Lord's church. With a draining away of resistance against the inroads of apostasy, brethren who grow weary of well-doing or who cease to care will pave the way for more and more congregations to no longer, with justification, be identified as a Church of Christ. Now, we're familiar with the caption, Restoration Movement. The concept is a noble one because the goal is to restore the church as the New Testament demands it to be, and to do so by the only method that can accomplish the task, preaching the Word without addition and subtraction. When men of honest and good hearts of yesteryear gave themselves to such a task, the Lord's church bloomed again even amidst denominationalism. Though hated and despised by the religious clerics and those wedded to human doctrines and traditions, the effort saw great success. Much of what was gained has now been lost due to the attitudes and the actions by such people as Mr. Anderson and the Highland Church of Abilene and many others of similar stripe of betrayal and the abandonment of God's truth. It may well be that the remnant must again start from scratch, even from a less advantageous position than before, to bring the word of salvation to the world, having suffered great losses due to the worldly professors, the liberals, the modernists, the position seekers, the salary gainers, the double talkers, the project promoters, and the unbelieving scholars. Is the Church of Christ a big sick denomination? Ah, friend, quite the opposite. And the glory of our God is in the Church of Christ. The task before the faithful is clear. Even if we be a small minority, although there have been many who have not bowed their knee to Baal, even if we have to stand alone, we prefer doing that rather than running and walking and sitting with the church bashers who are serving the devil by erecting another denomination from the ruins of division in the churches of Christ, a division that they have caused by their departure from the truth and their adoption of the false ways and the erroneous doctrines of denominationalism. Friend, when you preach the word, you have the satisfaction of knowing that you're not contributing to the crowd who wishes to change the church to accommodate men, but you're working for the Lord to the salvation of all those who will believe and obey, thereby taking advantage of God's grace and mercy as provided through the blood of His Son. And we can only say, shame upon those who would castigate the Lord's church, whatever be their motives for doing so. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.